Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. How's your sock drawer looking? Is it scary? Maybe it's time for a spring cleaning and refresh. Bombas just dropped a bunch of absurdly soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place while doing a little bit of good. Look, when I open up my sock drawer and I see a clean pair of Bombas sitting on top, not only do my feet sort of jump for joy, but like I can't wait to get them on my feet because I know they're going to be cozy. I know they're going to be the best socks in the house, and I know that they're going to keep me going all day long. They've got some great details that have been obsessed over, including the honeycomb arch support, which I love, anti-blister tabs, which I also love. What that is, it's a little bit of the heel that goes up a little, just a smidge higher, like in a whatever the perfect amount higher is, that's how high it goes. Bombas has figured this out. And they've got cushioned footbeds that feel like little pillows on your feet, not to mention the buttery soft tees and underwear with no itchy tags. Oh, I hate an itchy tag. And Bombas is like, don't worry about it. We do too. And look, the best thing about Bombas is that when you purchase an item, Bombas donates an item. That's right. Every time you buy their socks, tees, or underwear, you're also donating essential clothing to someone facing homelessness. To date, Bombas has donated over 100 million clothing items and counting. I mean, Bombas can make returns easy as well. I don't know why you'd return anything because what? But they do have a 100% happiness guarantee. So if the dryer or your dog eats a sock, or if you're unhappy with your purchase for virtually any reason, they'll do whatever they can to replace it and make it right. Bombas has a spring collection out right now. That means new colors and new fun. That's right. They have garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They got stripes. They got florals. They've got vintagey colored rib socks. You know, those like, you know, stripes on the top of it. It's like, oh, hey, look at me. I'm a vintage soccer player or track person. They've got those too. And they even have a new pointelle sock with a frilly cuff. You know, if for all you frill seekers out there, folks, all I'm saying is you heard me talk about Bombas for years now. I don't know why you haven't done anything about it. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure at checkout. Trust me, your feet will thank you. Well, go, baby, go, baby, go, baby, go. Everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I am Matt.
I'm Dory.
Dory's worried that she sounds bad.
I have yucky mouth.
Dry mouth.
Yeah.
Probably because you just went on a hike with Beau in the desert, in the dry country.
I know, but I just chugged like a gallon of water.
Okay. I mean, it was a glass and a half. You're not going to die from a gallon of water, honey.
No, I didn't say I was going to die. I just don't want our listeners to be like,
oh,
ew, Dory sounds disgusting.
Well, if you think Dory sounds disgusting but still want to leave a 5-star review, you can do so at Apple Podcasts. Leave a review there. Helps us out a lot. Our Facebook group, going strong, facebook.com/groups/excellentadventure. And, of course, our website is excellentadventure.com. We also have a Patreon page. If you're not getting enough of us, then, quite frankly, I don't know why Dory's playing with this thing that now is making noise.
I'm not playing with it. It was just tangled, and I couldn't move right. Oh, boy. Sorry, everyone. I'm not podcasting well today.
If you want to hear more of this excellent podcasting, you can head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/excellentadventure. For $5 a month, you will get yourself a bonus episode at a half hour in length. And if you donate $10, find it in your heart, and you're able to donate $10 a month through our Patreon page, you'll get 2 half-hour bonus episodes. First of the month is coming up, everybody, so they'll charge you on the first of the month. If you sign up today, you're hearing this probably on Monday. If you're like really into this podcast, you're hearing it Sunday night. If you sign up, short month, so the 28th is going to roll in at Wednesday, and then you'll, boom, you'll have access to our entire back catalog on Thursday, so you'll get a hell of a lot of bang for your buck there. You can email us. Our Twitter is excellentpod. You want to email us, you can do so at DoryandMatt@gmail.com or MattandDory@gmail.com, and our phone number is 413-461-BABY if you want to leave a voicemail. Now, There's a DC meetup planned. We've talked about it before. We're going to talk about it again until it happens. It's Sunday, March 11th at 3 p.m. at the Emissary Coffee House in DuPont Circle. You can RSVP for this at dceggheads.eventbrite.com. That is an https://. We're going to have it in the show notes, too, in case you don't feel like typing right now. Now, for those of you who are wondering what is happening on today's show, we have an interview, Dory did, of Maya Grobel and Noah Mishkin, who made a documentary about the...
Noah Mishkin.
Why did I say Mishkin?
I don't know.
That is bananas misreading by me. In no way. Anyway, Noah Mishkin...
I was like, I don't think that's his name.
You know, I spent a lot of the last couple of days talking about James Bond, and there's a lot of Russian generals.
Oh, sure.
Mishkin probably is one of them.
Okay.
Anyway, Maya and Noah made a documentary about their infertility journey called One Last Shot. It's available on Netflix, iTunes, Amazon, and Vimeo. It's also available on their website, which is onemoreshotfilm.com.
Wait, did I say it was called One Last Shot? Called One More Shot.
That makes sense. Dory is doing great today.
Sorry, everyone. I am.
Everybody, the documentary is called One More Shot. Available on Netflix, iTunes, Amazon, and Vimeo, and on their website.
I don't think it's available on their website. I think you can just go to their website for more information. Did I say it was available on their website? What is happening?
The sentence structure here. Is anyway, forget it, guys.
Anyway, that's coming up later in the show.
You're gonna hear from them. Dory interviewed them about their journey and why they decided to make a doc about it.
It's a great doc, by the way. One More Shot.
Okay, so update from us,
Matt. You've been going to acupuncture.
Yeah, I'm two punctures in.
How is it going for
Actually,
you?
Actually, way more than two punctures. A lot of punctures.
A lot of punctures.
Like, I would wager I had about 25 needles in me on Saturday.
Sounds about right.
One of them hurt a lot.
Which one?
One on the left foot.
Did
left,
you tell
left
her?
Left ankle.
Did you tell her?
No.
You should tell her when it hurts.
Well, just the prick hurt.
But then did it hurt? Did
no, it was okay. Fine. So that's going okay. I don't know. What am I supposed to say about it?
I'm just curious. You know, you resisted it for so long, and now you're going, and you're sort of like, oh, all right.
Yeah, that's my attitude towards it is okay.
Right.
So I probably don't talk enough for her tastes. She seems to know a lot of information about us, which I'm assuming is from a very verbose wife.
Who? Me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, hmm. Okay.
So, I don't know. I mean, but it was early last time. I was very tired.
Yeah.
So.
You can't be expected to talk too much at 8 a.m.
Yeah. So, that's next Saturday. My next appointment, rather, is next Saturday. It's been going okay. We got a little kickback from CFP, thanks to our round of IVF that... produced no less than zero viable embryos, up to and including not as many mature eggs as we thought we were going to get, and some sperm troubles I tried to forewarn everyone about. Anyway, they gave us a little kickback, so that felt good. Everybody, buckle up. Dory's unemployed.
Yep. My last day of work was Friday.
Uh-huh.
So I'm 2 days into unemployment.
So if you want to follow our Patreon page, you can do so at patreon.com/excellentadventure. It's going to be an interesting 3 months.
Yep.
Dory's last day of work was Friday, and my last day of work before hiatus is this coming Friday. So there's going to be 3 months of like, what is happening? What am I doing?
But what usually happens in these situations is you freak out and uh-huh. panic mm-hmm. and you send out like a million feelers.
Yep.
And then everyone's like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And then you end up with a gajillion jobs.
Yes.
And you panic again because you have too much work.
Right. It is a cycle that is longer than an IVF cycle. So, Dory, do you care to tell anyone about your decision to leave?
Well, we talked about it last week.
Your decision to leave? No, we didn't.
BuzzFeed?
On this?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we got it. In fact, we got an email about it.
I don't remember talking about this last week.
We got an email thanking me for talking about it because someone was like, was inspired to quit her job because I talked about it.
Guys, that wasn't on this podcast. I don't know what podcast it was on.
It was on.
I have no memory of recording last week's podcast, and I have no idea when we did it.
I think we did it in the morning.
What day?
Sunday?
I don't know. My brain's a little mushy.
Yeah, I see that.
We're both on real. We're on fumes.
This is my unemployed brain.
Yeah. So hiatus is coming. It was a lovely season of the Goldbergs. We're almost done over there. Thankful, of course, to Adam F. Goldberg, our showrunner, who was kind enough to be kind about all of the IVF appointments.
Yeah, that was major.
Huge props to him, even though he never has listened to this.
But
someone listens to this that talks to him. So whoever you are, tell him I said thanks.
I was going to say, I think he has friends who listen to this.
There's some people at his kids' school that are listeners. And if that's you, head over. Say, hey, Matt said thanks on the podcast. You're a good boss about this IVF things.
Yeah.
Now, what else is happening? I haven't quit smoking yet. We all know last week we talked about it. We agreed that I would make the concerted effort after my yearly hiatus trip to Las Vegas. Really, it's like one of five trips to Las Vegas.
Mm.
That ends up happening over hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
I might be back in New York in a week.
Yep.
So we'll see about that. No word yet on season dose of After Trek, but, you know, I feel like why not?
Oh, I'm going to be at South by Southwest.
Dory, you should tell people about that.
Yeah. So I'm going to be at South by Southwest. I'm not going to be in town for that long. So, and I unfortunately don't have time to do another official Egghead meetup, but if you guys want to come to my panel and you have a South by Southwest badge, you should come. It is on Tuesday, March 13th at 5 p.m. And we changed the name of it. It's called something like Women in Venture Capital. But if you search my name, like on the South by program website, you'll find the panel. So, you know, maybe I'll see you around Austin.
I hope you do, everyone. I hope you see Dory around Austin. And if I'm in New York at that time, I hope you see me around New York.
Oh, and I have another thing to plug.
Let's hear it.
My paperback comes out April 3rd.
Oh, my God. Guys,
start up a novel, The Paperback, by Dory Shafrir.
If you're in the market for a paperback and you want to support Dory's unemployed life,
please
do so by purchasing Start Up a Novel, A Paperback by Dory.
And I found out recently that it's going to be in Target.
Yeah, it'll be in some of the Targets. So yeah. If you see it at Target and you're like, you know what? Today's the day.
Yeah. Also, if you see it in Target, send me a picture.
She'd like to see it in Target.
Yeah.
Actually,
I'd like to just see it anywhere. If you see it in an independent bookstore, if you see it in Barnes & Noble, if you see someone reading it, send me a picture. I love that shit.
Yeah.
Also, if you're reading it, send me a picture.
If you want to put it next to your dog, we enjoy those pictures.
Oh, my God. Those might be my favorite pictures.
A lot of dog talk this weekend. We were at a party last night for Dory's friend Rachel, who celebrated a birthday, and I was talking to a lot of people about their dogs.
Yeah, it was a dog. It was a dog heavy party. You know, Rachel they have a dog too. Remember their dog?
Yeah, where was the dog?
I assume the dog was somewhere else.
No.
Parties and dogs generally don't mix.
Met a lot of Matts.
There were a lot of Matts at that party.
Met a lot of Matts at the party. My favorite Matt also suffers from anxiety, and his wife seems like a delight.
She emailed me. She wants to do the ritual.
We're going to do it. We're going to do some sort of ritual. She's into
Amelia, if you're listening, she's doing it.
She's into some fun books lately, and going to take us along for the ride a bit. So, buckle up, everybody. Now, on with the regular scheduled program of this program. Again, Dory is unemployed. That is patreon.com/excellent adventure. Oh, we went to our accountant today, and we forgot to add up our medical expenses like real dum-dums. So
yeah.
We're going to do that. And you know what? Maybe if you're all lucky, we'll give you a grand total on the next episode.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah. We have an email, and Dory, it seems like it's up your alley.
Oh, yeah?
Would you like to read it?
Sure.
How do you feel about your voice so far?
I'm feeling better about it.
Great.
Are
Sounds
you feeling
good.
Better about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, sure.
I'm just like, all right, this is, I need more moisture.
It's dry. I mean, it's dry in the house.
It is so dry. My hair has been a disaster.
Staticky.
I had to go to Dry Bar last night before the party because I was like, I don't think I can even do my own hair.
Again, that's patreon.com/excellent adventure.
All right. This is from Michelle.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. Just a quick email to thank you for your... Oh, hi, Dory, Matt, and Bo. So it's this podcast.
Yeah, okay.
Not my other podcast, okay. Forever 35.
Okay.
Which you can listen to on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, if you're not listening to Forever 35, Dory does a great podcast with Kate Spencer. If you're into like self-care and you want to know how to keep that skin smooth and silky.
Yeah, and you just want to feel okay about being nice to yourself, which as... listeners of this podcast know is something that I feel very strongly about, especially when you're going through IVF. You have to be nice to yourself because the world is not nice to you when you're going through IVF.
So again, Dory's unemployed. That is Forever 35. Hit the subscribe button.
Yep. Anyway, so this is from Michelle. Hi, Dory, Matt, and Bo. Just a quick email to thank you for your most recent episode where Dory discussed her decision to leave BuzzFeed. I was listening on my way to work, and it really clarified some things for me. Long story short, I quit my job of 4 years that day.
Oh, my God. What are we doing?
It had been a long time coming. The job has been making me miserable and exacerbating my anxiety for years, but hearing you gave me that final push I needed to see it through. I'm a bit scared, but really needed to make a drastic change. So I quit, went home, and put on a sheet mask. Thank you, Forever 35.
Oh, my God.
And ate Easter eggs in the bath. Hashtag self-care. Oh, my God, Michelle.
Michelle, when you say you ate Easter eggs, do you mean you, like, ate hard-boiled colored eggs? Or do you mean, like,
I bet she means
Easter
Cadbury eggs.
Because if she means hard-boiled eggs, that is a weird way to celebrate a bath.
Anyway, just wanted to say thank you for that. Also, I listen to all my podcasts on 1.5x speed. I first heard of your podcast when Matt was a guest on Gilmore Guys. And as you know, those episodes could sometimes go over the 5 hour mark.
We've done that, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. As I podcast on my commute, it would sometimes take a week to listen to one episode.
Yeah, I think their first one about the new Netflix episodes, I think their first one was 5 hours. That one also took me a week to listen to.
That is insane.
Kevin Porter, by the way, was the guest on last week's James Bonding episode, Kevin of the Gilmore Guys. I want to get Demi on as well, but Kevin was a guest. And if you... don't like James Bond, but you enjoy podcasts, I would say listen to that episode because Matt, Kevin, and I have thousands of hours of podcasting between us, and we go way inside baseball on podcasts. So if you want to like know the ins and outs of how our brains deal with podcasting.
That sounds a little scary.
That's the way to check it out. We talk about James Bond for maybe 14 of the minutes of the 2 hours.
So I got into the habit of listening at 1.5 speed. Don't worry, you guys sound great fast. Lots of love from Australia, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle, and good luck in your new life. It's amazing.
Way to go, everybody.
Way to go.
If you've thought of quitting this job because of something my wife said, think about it again.
That's patreon.com.
/excellent adventure.
All right, should I read this next one from Anonymous?
Sure.
Okay. I found your podcast back in October when I was on FMLA after serving as a surrogate / giving birth for close male friends of mine.
Oh, that's interesting.
I especially enjoyed the My Two Dads episodes since I had just gone through that process on the other side.
Oh.
Our situation was a little different as I was a, quote, true surrogate. I was also the egg donor, so I was genetically connected to the pregnancy and am close friends with the couple. I've been friends with one of them since elementary school, so we weren't working through an agency, although we did have separate legal counsel for every step. Mm-hmm. Rather than financial compensation, in exchange for serving as their surrogate, they will be the donors for me and my partner. I am also gay.
That's like quite a even Steven trade.
I
minus the fact that you're carrying this child.
Love this. We all entered into this interested in a known donor situation as we want to make sure our children have whatever relationship they might desire as they grow up with their donors and diblings, mm-hmm. donor siblings. While we chose this arrangement, I certainly respect the decisions other parents and donors make that may protect anonymity as well. I'm writing today because I wanted to share my perspective on the situation another listener wrote in about regarding embryo donation mentioned on your latest podcast. First, though, I want to say that I think what parents choose to disclose regarding the details regarding conception, including donor identities, should be entirely up to the parents to decide. So it is out of line, I think, for the clinic to tell them they have to allow contact with the donors in the case of embryo donation. That said, I've done a lot of reading and given a lot of thought to the perspective of the donor conceived and how it relates to bodily autonomy and the right to information about one's own biology. Mm. And think that is likely the perspective the clinic is coming from. The Ethics Committee of the American Society for Reproductive Medicine has somewhat recently published an opinion on this too, and while it asserts that it should be the decision of the intended parents as far as what to share with their children, it also details some considerations I thought other listeners might be interested in if they would want to look it up / read it themselves. And that's on ASRM.org, and it's called Informing Offspring of Their Conception by Gamete or Embryo Donation. Like I said, I don't think it's the clinic's place to require parents to disclose these details to the resulting children, but based on some of what I've read, I think it may become more common for clinics, fertility clinics, or sperm banks to begin moving away from anonymous donation by requiring the donors to be open to disclosure, especially given that with the rise of mail-order DNA analyses, anonymity is no longer a guarantee. There are many articles out there on this, but there are no more secrets in sperm donation. From the cut was an interesting read. My partner and I have had a lot of discussions on this as well. I have with my friends who will be our donors, since we will eventually have to decide what to do with what is left of our unused embryos. And we all four have conflicting feelings between how we feel about donating our embryos, the unreliability of anonymity, and the perspective of the donor-conceived kids should they later find out the details of their conception. It's quite a lot to consider, I think, and given we're pretty early on as it is, I'm glad we have a lot of time before we make any decisions. Anyway, thank you very much for your podcast and the community you are building through your listeners. While I sometimes feel like it isn't my place to join conversations about infertility, since the issue isn't so much my actual fertility as it is a fact of the nature of my relationship, I'm grateful for a place where I can join in on conversations about IVF, IUI, and all the other not exclusively P in V ways we're trying to create our families. I really wish I'd found you earlier on when I was going through hormone shots and daily blood draws and all the other steps of egg retrieval, FET, etc., where you wish you could talk to someone who just gets it. Mm. Sending good vibes your way, Anonymous.
I think that's, you know, if you know anybody who's maybe going through IVF and they don't listen to the podcast, I think it's good to say, hey,
you
could subscribe to this.
You know what's interesting?
Yeah.
I was talking to another woman at this party last night.
Yes.
Who was going through IVF, and mm-hmm. she said she hasn't been able to bring herself to listen to the podcast yet because, you know, she feels it's been a long, difficult road for her.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, yeah, that's totally fine. But she was like, but I have to thank you because I have friends who listen to it and they are not going through IVF, but I think it's made them much more empathetic, sympathetic, able to talk to me about it in a way that's not horrible.
Yeah.
So she was like grateful for that.
And I was talking to her husband last night and it was literally the first time he talked about it.
Yeah.
To someone else.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're out there, everybody. If you need to invite us to your parties to mingle with people who are going through IVF,
you can pretend we're friends and then we'll just be like, hey guys.
What's up? Yeah. So we're out there for people. And thank you to Anonymous for sharing that story. Quite an interesting perspective.
Yeah, that is a really interesting perspective. I am interested in it.
Ooh, Dory's hitting a lot of buttons.
I think it's time for a voicemail.
Ready for that voicemail?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I hope so.
Okay.
Hi, Matt, Dory, and Bo. My name is Ron from South Louisiana. I was calling in with regards to your latest episode. I've lost count of numbers. I've been listening since day one. I actually voted in the poll to name your podcast Excellent Adventure.
Wow.
Big fan of Matt, now a fan of Dory. And I am not in the IVF vote. I'm just a fan of podcasts in general, and especially couples who have witty banter back and forth and seem to love each other a lot. My wife and I have not had any problems with fertility, thank God, knock on wood. But I was calling in with regards to the young lady who called in and, or I'm sorry, wrote in and said that she was out raped with her OB in the San Francisco area, and just wanted to say it is definitely not just the San Francisco area. When my wife and I were first married 15 years ago, we had started trying immediately because we wanted a family. And her OB, who was her mom's OB and just used him as default, was very old school and told her, oh, you're too young. She was 18 at the time. You cannot have any problems. There is no way there's anything wrong with you. Even though you've been trying for a year, and nothing has happened. So she said, forget you. Goodbye. And found a new OB who went in, said, okay, yes, you have valid concerns. I understand. Let's see what we can do. So long story short, after some meds, exploratory surgery, we were pregnant about a month after surgery with our first of now 8.
Holy shit.
Whoa.
There is hope. Keep on plugging away. If you don't feel like your doctor's right, please move. By all means. I know you said it before. You've done it, Dory, and I appreciate it. Also, side note, your gynecologist ambulance, that could not be one. Because if I'm not mistaken, a gynecologist ambulance goes, hoo-ha, 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 not wee-you, wee-you, like you heard the background. So, love the show. Keep on plugging along, and thanks for everything.
You're very welcome. To me, it sounded like you were catching and dragging alligators onto the bed of a truck. That's what it sounded like you were doing.
Well, he's in Louisiana.
8 kids. Holy crap. Way to go, bud.
It sounds like they got married super young.
You get started when you get started, you know?
I guess that's true.
It seems to be working out.
Sure does.
Otherwise, it probably would have stopped after 1.
Yeah, good point.
Also, a lot of people wrote in on Twitter, a few people, to call the gynecology ambulance the Strike Zone Strike Force. And I felt stupid for not having thought of that, so... Thank you to everyone who suggested Strike Zone Strike Force. That's the perfect name for that ambulance of angry gynecologists.
Wow.
Hoo-ha, hoo-ha, Strike Zone Strike Force. I mean, come on. It's perfect. It writes itself.
It's not bad.
Not bad at all. All right, honey. Why don't you say...
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. How's your sock drawer looking? Is it scary? Maybe it's time for a spring cleaning and refresh. Bombas just dropped a bunch of absurdly soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place while doing a little bit of good. Look, when I open up my sock drawer and I see a clean pair of Bombas sitting on top, not only do my feet sort of jump for joy, but like I can't wait to get them on my feet because I know they're going to be cozy. I know they're going to be the best socks in the house. And I know that they're going to keep me going all day long. They've got some great details that have been obsessed over, including the honeycomb arch support, which I love, anti-blister tabs, which I also love. What that is, it's a little bit of the heel that goes up a little, just a smidge higher, like in a whatever the perfect amount higher is, that's how high it goes. Bombas has figured this out. And they've got cushioned footbeds that feel like little pillows on your feet, not to mention the buttery soft tees and underwear with no itchy tags. Oh, I hate an itchy tag. And Bombas is like, don't worry about it. We do too. And look, the best thing about Bombas is that when you purchase an item, Bombas donates an item. That's right. Every time you buy their socks, tees, or underwear, you're also donating essential clothing to someone facing homelessness. To date, Bombas has donated over 100 million clothing items and counting. I mean, Bombas can make returns easy as well. I don't know why you'd return anything, because what? But they do have a 100% happiness guarantee. So if the dryer or your dog eats a sock, or if you're unhappy with your purchase for virtually any reason, they'll do whatever they can to replace it and make it right. Bombas has a spring collection out right now. That means new colors and new fun. That's right. They have garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They got stripes. They got florals. They've got vintagey colored rib socks. You know, those like, you know, stripes on the top of it. It's like, oh, hey, look at me. I'm a vintage soccer player or track person. They've got those too. And they even have a new pointelle sock with a frilly cuff. You know, if for all you frill seekers out there, folks, all I'm saying is you heard me talk about Bombas for years now. I don't know why you haven't done anything about it. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure at checkout. Trust me, your feel. Thank you. It's just about time to hear the interview.
Yep, of Maya and Noah.
Would you like to set it up a little bit before we toss over to it?
Sure. So they started chronicling their infertility journey in 2012. And I don't want to give too much away, but they really go from start to finish. It's a great film. It will hit very close to home if you've been going through this yourselves. And if you haven't been, you'll if you've been listening to this podcast, you'll recognize a lot of the stuff we talk about.
Yeah.
I thought it was very well done, and I really enjoyed talking to Maya and Noah. So
here it is.
Here they
you
are.
Can hear Dory talking to Maya and Noah right now.
So I have here today an amazing couple, Maya Grabel and Noah Moskin, who made a documentary called One More Shot about their infertility journey.
Sure.
And yeah, it's available on Netflix and iTunes and
all the other
Amazon and Vimeo and
all the places. And yeah, welcome you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So I wanted to just kind of start by, if you guys could give kind of the rundown of what the film is and why you decided to make it, that would be great.
Well, the film is it's a feature-length documentary, which sounds super sexy, I know. Basically, it chronicles our journey through infertility and all the way up to having a baby. I hope I didn't give anything away.
You just did give all of it away. It's all away now.
But I mean, several years of trying to start a family and make a baby and being unsuccessful with that. And we decided, well, as stressful as that is, let's also try to turn it into a movie. And started off as just being like a little, we were just going to do it as a short.
Okay.
Because we thought, hey, we'll do IVF and IVF's easy, right? And
right.
And it wasn't, and it isn't. So, but we just kept recording and recording and recording. And so years go by, and you've got a couple hundred hours of footage.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, well, let's turn this into something real.
That's kind of like us. Like, we were like, our podcast will be a limited series.
Three episodes. We won't be in this forever.
Exactly. It'll just be a few episodes.
And I think also we interview other people in the film who've created their family different ways. So I think, like, while this started out as our like little home video project, and we really didn't know what our intent. I mean, we met in college at Berkeley in a film class, and like we just sort of like document, like that's what we did, and so it seemed like natural for us to do that. So we just started doing that, and then as like our lives started to fall deeper and deeper into this abyss of all of it, we realized, like, A, we really needed to learn more about how people make families when the old-fashioned way doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because that's hopeful. And, you know, and that people sort of survive this and figure it out. And what does donor this mean? And what does, you know, how does adoption work? And, you know, and all these kinds of things. So, and we also really felt like it's kind of BS that nobody talks about this or that I'm supposed to feel ashamed or embarrassed or, you know, and so I was like, wait a minute. And so I think, you know, his roots are in film and TV and mine are in social work. And I think when you sort of smash that together, you get our film, you know, so we do interview different people and we do learn. And I think that really helped me in the process go like, oh, okay, you can get eggs somewhere else when you don't have eggs. And that is normal, you know, but there's a process where it doesn't start out as normal. Yeah. It starts out as like, holy shit, how much does that cost? And wait, what does that mean? And what, you know, what does that mean about myself and about my kid and, you know, and all that stuff. So, so I think that the journey, so as, like I said, life started to fall apart. It kind of felt like, well, there are ways to connect to other people and to tell a story that is the story. It's our story is just a version of, you know, the story of 7.3 million Americans and millions more around the world. You just don't hear the story. So, that's kind of, I guess that's the why.
I mean, you guys, there's some really intimate moments.
That's generous.
In the film. I'm thinking of one in the bathroom in particular.
You can really jump on that.
Well, it's intimate.
The second half of that scene was even more intimate.
Oh, dear.
You guys, please.
Yeah, I appreciated that. As a viewer, I appreciated that. Was there ever a point where you were like, oh no, like we've just, this is too much. This is too personal.
I don't think so. I think, like once we were in it, we were 100% in it. And I could, you know, I say that because I was the one that was behind the camera most of the time.
Right.
And I, you know, we would have these pretty, intimate moments or, you know, the arguments or the, you know, 2 hours of crying.
Yeah.
That, you know, the hardest part with that was being like, okay, we're having an argument and things are falling apart. We're trying to figure out like how we're going to find money to do our next round of whatever.
Yeah.
Hold on real quick. I'm going to go get the camera and the mic and I want you to say what you just said. You know, it's like taking those really tough moments, whether they're things you feel like sharing or not. It was like, once we decided we're doing this movie, it's like, I want to have everything there because this wasn't about being, you know, slick with the story or anything. It was showing like how gnarly this is and how rough this is. So let's show all of it. I guess I was just glad we had an editor who could pull me back and say like, no, we don't need that part.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's sort of like once we decided that it was going to, it was very real. I mean, sure, there are moments where I look back and I'm like, oh, a little makeup or pants like wouldn't have hurt the situation, but we'd be like, I can't buy you say that. I'm like, get the camera.
Right.
So that, because that's what is real. And I think that's what people can relate to. It's ugly. Like this, this is not, these are not our proudest moments, you know, but I kind of felt like, you know, you watch it back and you're like, God, that was a bitchy moment, but I'm also jacked up on hormones.
Yeah.
My skin is freaking out
and
that's what it looks like. And you know, if it was sort of glamorous, then I don't think it would connect with people because, you know, relationships do suffer. And, I mean, it was just a lot of intense moments. The only moment I think about that I regret not having, you weren't there, but, there was a moment where we did another we did more transfers than actually were shown.
Okay.
Because we had like one, I don't know, funky late developing embryo that the doctor's like, we'll just throw that in there and see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, day six, whatever. But when we found out that that last, we called it the Lone Ranger, didn't work, I was with my parents and I didn't have, I had just like the still camera and my dad just started crying.
Oh,
and so like my mom, like I'm sitting between my parents. It was hot. I remember my mom was wearing shorts and I was sort of like, why is my mom wearing shorts? Like it was this weird moment. And my dad just started breaking down and I had the camera and I started to like turn it on, try to fit. And then I was like, that's the only moment I feel really? Like I missed. Yeah. But
you guys got a lot.
But we got a lot, so it was okay.
Yeah. Got a lot of rough
totally.
Moments.
But it shows how emotional it is for like a whole family in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Too. What has your family's response to the film been?
I mean, like, well, we showed the film was shown at a festival in my hometown on Bainbridge Island outside of Seattle. And so my parents went, and I was kind of half hoping that my dad would have to speak about it. you know, Maya's parents are local, so they're obviously like in it.
Right.
And stuff. You know, I think my parents, you know, they had a rough time with it. Mm. You know, I think initially because my family is kind of private, it was like, why, you know, do you need to do this?
Yeah.
But, you know, once I think they saw what we wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Definitely once we started getting reactions from it and people saying like, oh, that's like my story. Or, you know, it's like when they see that it helps people, I think that definitely... not that they weren't behind the project, but like, I think they got it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But you know, their initial reaction, they were very supportive, but their initial reactions was like, why are we,
right?
Why do you feel the need to, you know, show an enema in a movie?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Oh, now you just really gave the spoilers.
People are heading
to Netflix right now going, gotta see that. And I guess with my family, I mean, my family was just such a part. It took my family to sort of make our family essentially. Yeah. And so my parents are in the film and they're just great. And it just breaks my heart when I meet people or I have, you know, I work now, I'm a therapist in this field and I meet people who are like, oh, my mom doesn't know. And I haven't told, you know, my parents or I can't, you know, and I just like, it breaks my heart because my parents were such an important piece of all.
Yeah.
They were really involved. I mean, they knew every step of the way, everything, you know. So yeah, I think it's
and
important.
Then your sister donated eggs.
Yeah, my sister gave a little piece of herself, which was an incredible gift. And feels like a long time ago now, but
it does. I think it's a lot for families, and I think the hardest part for us was like, you know, you get your family involved a little bit and then once they're in. And so like, to Maya's point of like talking to people were like, well, I could, you know, some people's parents don't even know. And it's like, I get that that's a big hump to get over to involve your family and involve your close friends. But, you know, for us, I think once you do, it's very beneficial. Mm-hmm. And it's because it's really fucking tough to go through this with like two people.
Yeah.
You know, so if you can get other people to sort of displace the stress and like spread that out over some family members.
So I can
members,
scream at
like,
my dad, I can scream at my mom.
I don't have to take all the screaming.
Yeah.
She can scream at other people.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, before we started recording, you were saying that Matt and I seem calm about kind of what's been going on. And I think actually that's part of it. Like, we're able to sort of diffuse some of it because we're talking to thousands of people every week and we're hearing from people. And both kind of thanking us for like creating this community, but also like telling us their own stories. Yeah. And it really like puts things in perspective, sort of constantly. So how has that been for you guys? I mean, do you feel like a community has kind of emerged around the film, and how is that, how's that working for you?
I mean, just the feedback from, since it's been out, especially since it's been out on Netflix, whether it's Facebook messages or emails or whatever. I mean,
like,
you guys get those all the time.
So
it's great to have those people write in and be like, look, you're telling my story in a way that I can't.
Yeah,
you know?
So
it's very reaffirming of what we were trying to do and trying to, you know, create some sort of environment where people can connect with it. And the messages that we get that I think I like the most are the ones where they say, I couldn't talk to my parents, or I couldn't talk to my friends about it, or I couldn't tell my sister-in-law who's got five kids about it. So I just said, watch this movie. And then now they get it. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the messages to me. It's like, oh, it is connecting people, and it's helping people communicate.
Yeah.
So that, you know, those reactions I find really special.
Yeah. And I think, I started writing a blog a long time ago. It's like 2012. I still write a little, it's called Don't Count Your Eggs. And I'm not tech savvy at all. Like, I don't know how to do any of this. So I don't know why I really still, I think it was like, so your mom could like read something.
Yeah. Well, you got tired of like writing the same email to,
tell people. So I was like, I'll just do this. Yeah. But I didn't think that like, I didn't expect a lot of people to read it or anything like that. But then as people really started to share, and I feel like that idea of storytelling or the need to sort of express and just let out some of this stuff, it's a trauma narrative, really. Yeah. Like, the film is really a trauma narrative, or our trauma narrative, because it's, you kind of go through and you're trying to make coherent sense out of something, of chaos, out of something that just doesn't make any sense, or that's not logical, or that in our culture, you work hard at something, you pay money for something, it's supposed to, you have the best doctor or whatever. Like, that's, you know, there's an equal sign at the end of that.
Yeah.
That is a smiling, happy baby. And there's no, it's not about deserving. It's not about who has the most, you know, this, that, or the, maybe the most good eggs or something. But really, it doesn't, there's no logic, you know. And so just when I started writing and just hearing all of these different stories, and it was, what was most interesting to me were people in different countries or different parts of the world that are like, it's not legal here to do this, so I have to go to here to get this, or I'm single and you know, I had to have my friend pretend he was my husband just so I could get it, you know, and like all this stuff, and you're like, wow, it just, it is a very new world, you know, with all of this stuff. But the emotional struggle and the feeling of really wanting something and falling short of it constantly, and just the anxiety and that sort of like, you know, emotional roller coaster and, you know, whatever else, it's just really consistent in all different cultures and all different places. And, you know, and people want to share that and make sense of that. And so, like, I love getting the emails and, you know, reading, you know, people's stuff. And then I go, oh my gosh, we didn't have it that bad. Or wow. But, you know, you kind of, you start to open up a little bit. And, you know, we did kind of get to the end of the line in terms of third party reproduction. And so how we resolved this, our crisis. But, you know, we had access, and there are people who can't afford it, or people who it's not legal, or people who, you know, are shamed, or her husbands won't participate in anything donor related or whatever else, you know, and so their marriage is at stake, you know. So I think there's just a lot in there that is interesting.
So can we talk about how you guys ended up having a baby?
Sure.
It's a little bit of a spoiler, but
it's okay.
It's worth watching the film anyway.
Yeah.
So you ended up using a donor embryo. Can you talk a little bit about that process? We get a lot of questions about this, and we haven't gone through it ourselves, and don't know a ton about it. So I'd love to just kind of hear from you guys about what that was like.
Yeah. So, you know, there are a couple, it's hard. There are a lot of embryos that exist. Not a lot of them are sort of up for donation.
Right.
You know, in the sort of choices that people make, donating to science or donating or destroying them or donating to another couple. Donating to another couple is probably the least popular choice because it's still, you know, there's a weirdness to it in some ways, you know, and I get that. I think when we were deciding, you know, when we thought we'd have embryos, you know, we checked the box. I think we donated to science if we had any left over, because that seemed right to us or whatever. But it's a really personal choice, and it's not the best choice for everybody.
Right.
But I think when you get to this point of, you know, one door closes.
Yeah.
So after sort of donor eggs for us closed, or with my sister closed, you look at what you have left. So what you have left emotionally. We were in this rate for 4 years by the time we got to that point, right? What do you have left financially? What is your relationship have left?
Yeah.
You know, and what's important to you? What are the values that you have? And for everybody, that's different. So for us, it really was, you know, I really wanted to carry. We've always been open to adoption. But for me, honestly, like the thought of having to do the paperwork after all of this, and having somebody, some social worker, and I am a social worker, but like having somebody come into my home and tell me that my, you know, banister wasn't high.
Right.
You know, I was like, no.
Right.
Or making a pamphlet. Like, that just felt like too much for me.
Yeah.
Could we have gotten there? Sure.
Right.
But we also, we wanted to get out of this as fast as possible.
Yeah.
We needed something we could afford.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the genetic piece just didn't seem that important.
Yeah.
You know, you don't wake up one morning going like, oh yeah, who cares? And let's just do this. But it's a little bit of a process. Mm-hmm. And I think when I came across these embryos, so I think that's another piece, like how do you find a donated embryo? And there is a place in Florida called like National Embryo Donation Center or something like that.
Okay.
There are some places that are more religious based, mm-hmm. Snowflake, something or other. That didn't feel like a good fit for us.
Yeah.
And we didn't really go out seeking a donated embryo. So it kind of happened. So I had a doctor that referred me to this clinic in Seattle that had a frozen egg bank because frozen eggs are cheaper than a fresh cycle with a fresh donor.
Okay.
So he thought it was like $8,000. Let me tell you, it's not $8,000. But I was like, $8,000? That's,
right.
You know,
right.
That's basically free.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I called this clinic and had this conversation, and it was like more than double $8,000. And I was like, ah, that's not
right.
Good. And I don't know, we just started talking, and then I asked, do you have embryos that are already made? And then I asked about having something that was my ethnic mix. It's, you know, it's when I say that, I think people comment like, who cares? What does it matter? And it doesn't necessarily matter. But I think in this process, there are things that you still feel you want to connect to in some way.
Right.
And so for me, I just asked, do you have anything that's half Japanese?
Yeah.
And she called it the pantry. Uh-huh. And so she's like, well, let me look in the pantry. And she actually did. And so she sent profiles. And so the embryo was created with an egg donor from their egg bank.
Okay.
And then the sperm of a husband, is that the word?
Yeah.
Of an infertile couple. So they used an egg donor. So it was a little bit removed from that specific couple.
Got it. And got
there's something about that I liked also.
Yeah.
It was just like a third step.
Yeah.
You know, and this egg donor had three of her own children and had, was a shared cycle and had other successful pregnancies. So for some people that's like, oh my gosh, then you have all these half siblings and that's weird. For me, I was like, that's success.
Totally.
So,
totally.
You know, it's all, a lot of this is just perspective, right?
Yeah.
It's how you like think of it and how you translate weird into interesting and different into cool and awesome. Right. And
right.
I think that's the process everybody's got to go through to get on board and to sort of let go of the shame of it or the fear of it and to really feel sort of proud and excited, you know? And so, but it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But anyway, so when we sort of found this embryo, I was like, bingo. And the donor was 5'11". So I was like, that's an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 5'4". On my license, I'm 5'6", but I'm actually 5'4". You know, and
that's the first time I've ever heard you admit that.
Is it?
Now it's on the public record.
I lied. Well, I'm like, I think 5'5.5" is what I've always
whatever you gotta tell
attached
yourself.
To. But anyway, so it felt like a good fit to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, these things are available. We don't have to find a donor. These things are less expensive, which I hate saying because it's like we took the cheap option to make our kid. But when you've already spent $50,000 in 4 years, you're like, no, this matters. And they were they made a healthy child. And, you know, and so it just felt right. And they were in Seattle, which is his hometown. They were made the year we started trying, 2010. So I was like, okay, there's something in the universe.
Yeah, that feels totally. Right.
So that's how we came across these embryos. Now, that's not how, if you're seeking a donor embryo, that's probably not the route you'll take, right?
Mm.
So that would be more asking your clinic first if they have anything.
Yeah.
And there's another company called Embryo Options that I know is working to sort of give information about embryo disposition and
their,
you know, and so, you know, so it's like looking at some of these agencies, going to different clinics. I mean, that's how it's done now. I think there'll be more, more work to figure out better ways to get embryos out there. Mm-hmm. But, so, you know, so I sort of found the embryos but then it took a little while for him to wrap his head around.
Yeah.
That.
I was going to ask Noah, what was the process for you like?
You know, I think the first reaction you have if, you know, I always have to qualify this, going through infertility together, you know, we were it was very much like, it's not your problem, it's our problem, it's mm-hmm. not my problem, it's our problem. But when you get down to like somebody's genetics,
yeah,
you're like, my genetics are cool.
Right.
Like, I'm good.
Right.
Like,
right.
Why can't we use me? Yeah. I like me.
Yeah.
And so that your first reaction is like, well, okay, just because things are challenging for your bits, like, why am I counted out?
Yeah.
And I don't know that there was ever like an answer other yeah. than, well, this will work. We know right. this way will work.
Right.
But we don't know, but it was the best chance.
It was our best chance. And I think then I took a step back and it was like, okay, well, why are genetics important to me?
Yeah.
And really it's because, yeah, like ego.
Yeah.
You know, but also like I got flat feet and, you know, I probably think I'm a better athlete than I really am. And I was smart early on, but I don't think I'm that smart now. So like what's the upside? So right. let's gamble on somebody else, you know, and if they're like, you know, at least semi good looking and semi smart, like we'll be fine. And I think for me, then I kind of got around to like, oh, this can give us our family. This could be the answer that we need. And that at the end of the day for us, you know, it's not going to be that way for everybody, but at the end of the day for us, like that was the most important thing.
Right.
We wanted to get off this horrible roller yep. coaster and we wanted to start our family and like continue our lives. Like we yeah. were so like 100% in it underwater.
Yep.
Every conversation, and we talk about this in the movie, it's like every conversation is like, this sucks. When are we doing this?
Yeah.
When do we have to do the next thing? So like, we want to get out of this.
Yeah.
And if this gives us this chance to have a family and have our lives back, like I'm not going to be the one that says like, oh, I hope it has my eyes. So let's hold
right.
out.
Right.
And yeah. So I think I just got like really pragmatic and like
yeah.
realistic about it. And you know, she kind of looks like me.
She really does. It's like bizarre. She looks like both of us, except she's blonde and a giant.
So once you kind of identify these embryos, what is the process like to actually get them?
It's a frozen transfer. So,
you just say to the clinic, I would like these embryos. And they say, great, give us this money and you can have them. That's basically it.
Yeah. It might be slightly different now. But
it was a little more, I think, laxed or like casual.
It's interesting when you do something in a different state, because then you can really see the different culture around, you know, like I kind of feel like out here, and I don't know, I only had one doctor out here. We did sort of interview or go for like a second opinion at one point, but we ended up staying with the same doctor, and he was a really good fit for us. Mm-hmm. But I think that's really important, you know, because I don't think every doctor is a good fit for me, but I feel like there's just an intensity to things out here that just wasn't in Seattle.
Oh, interesting.
Like, oh, yeah, come on back. And I'm like, do you want me to tell you my birthday on my wristband?
Right,
you know,
right,
like,
right,
to my
right,
driver's
right,
license. Right, right. Oh, no, they know you're coming. And I'm just like, well, okay, you know, but
I think that's also a very like Northwest attitude and like way of being. Whereas here, it's just like, everything is very buttoned up and we're going to do this now. And we're
Right.
But so the process is a frozen embryo transfer, which should be simple.
Yeah.
I think the problem with me and my body and my ovaries is that nothing's ever easy. So you're monitored out here.
Okay.
So my doctor monitored me here and then I was going to go up for the transfer, but it was like, they put me on Lupron, and then I created more follicles on Lupron than I did on tons of Menopur.
Oh, okay.
You know, the doctor's like, this is weird. I'm like, is that, you know, this happens in 5% of the,
whatever else.
Right. So we got canceled. We had to push back. There was a lot of like buying more meds and having to redo, you know, and that kind of stuff. But that's just my body. And so we've actually been working to transfer this there were two embryos.
Yeah.
So we've been working to transfer the other one. So I'll go on Friday to see if I'm a go, but we've been trying since like June in different ways,
okay.
you know, but it just like, you know, I have a cyst or I have the, it's just that kind of annoying stuff. But in terms of what the process is, it's just a frozen embryo.
Okay.
They're there, you do the estrogen, progesterone,
yep.
you fly up, some lady in a white coat knocks you up, yep. and then you pray.
That's it. Right? Yeah, that's totally. It. And you guys are working on a follow-up to the film.
We're trying to figure out what that is.
Yeah.
We're developing something. It would not be a like
personal.
Here's we don't, I don't want to do another personal
journey. Okay.
Another out of pocket personal journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, just this experience and the film and, you know, now working in this sort of field in a way, I think it just has opened up a lot of issues and a lot of things that I feel strongly need to be discussed. And I think part of that, and again, we're still kind of developing this, but it's the idea of delving more into third-party reproduction and this idea of, you know, reproductive rights and advocacy and, you know, and patients' rights. And I feel very strongly about that. I mean, I'm, a, you know, obviously like benefited, you know, from having, you know, certain availabilities and stuff like that. But I think there's a little bit of a disconnect when it comes to then the rights of the child conceived in this way. And what does that mean? And what does it mean to be donor conceived? And the first donor conceived with egg, sperm donor has been around a lot longer. But with egg donors, like these children are now adults, 30s, 40s, you know. But that's how, that, it's just so, it's new in a lot of ways. And so what does anonymity mean? And what does it mean to come into the world in this way? And what should people tell their kids? And I think what's become really interesting to me as a therapist now is, you know, a lot of people don't disclose to their children. And, you know, and that's in an age where you could spit in a tube and send it in and find out you have half brothers. And say, like, this doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And what does it tell your kids? And what is the sort of shame, like the culture of shame, I feel needs to really be changed. And that starts, you know, that starts, that that's an examination of culture.
Right.
And that starts in the doctor's office. If a doctor says to somebody, oh, you'll, you know, we'll get an editor. Nobody has to know, you know, if somebody says that, that's immediately saying there's shame in there, you know, and that, you know, your kid needs to know, what if there's a medical thing? What if, you know, and you don't really want to sort of remember the moment you find out, you know, that, so that you're, you know, not genetically related. And so I just think that there's something in there that needs to be explored in a different way. And I think it's less about us. You know, we kind of like to use ourselves as a personal sort of spine to these projects, because I think it's a connection point.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of a bigger exploration. So we're just trying to figure it out at this stage.
Do you think you would have completed the film if you hadn't had a child?
Yeah. We had a
plan,
a backup plan of how to complete the film. I think, I'm trying to remember like time wise, like where we were. We were pretty close to like
it was the donor egg
done with it. Like if that didn't work, then we were gonna go to plan B and you know, tell somebody else's success story.
Okay. It was such a crappy conversation.
It was like one of those like okay, where does this go? Because at that point, like we'd been cutting the film and it like had, it was starting to look like something.
Yeah.
And we just sort of I'd set this like chunk, like the last 5 minutes of the movie, I knew was going to be like, when this works, like this will be, you know, what the last 5-10 minutes of the movie are like. And then we kind of had this moment where we're like, okay, if it doesn't work,
I think
what is that? And you know, we wanted to, I mean, when you watch the movie, you see there's lots of places that are funny and then like twice as many places that are sad.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to end with us being like, oh, okay, I guess we got nothing.
Right.
So we had, you know, we had this plan for, you know, something like a positive end that was like, even though it didn't work for us, it worked for something else.
Yeah.
And it would have been different, because it would have been definitely a twist, because it wouldn't have been about, it wouldn't have ended with our story.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got to the point where we're just like, okay, I don't want to make this movie for 7 years.
Right.
And yeah, so for a number of factors, like running out of money to do
everything
like procedures and make a movie and do this. And yeah, I think just psychologically I was ready to be like done with.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that conversation happened after the cycle with my sister didn't work, because mm-hmm. that we were banking on.
We thought that was
the end. Yeah. That was the baby, like, you know, and then we were like, oh my God, like that. And so that's why we follow Candace and Tommaso a bit more. They adopted, you know, and so in our heads, adoption does work. It's challenging, and there are, you know, I'm not going to say it's easy. I hate when people say, just adopt.
Yeah, like, totally.
Babies fall from the trees. But that was the story. That was a success story, you know. And so we thought maybe it'd end open with us. Not that, you know, there was nothing, but that we just had to stop at some point. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why we started following them a little bit more. We're like, call Candace, we got to go back in case this doesn't work out.
Right.
I remember having the conversation and being like, wait, seriously? Like, is this not going to work out?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, we also, like, the people that we interviewed were on the backside of their journey. You know,
right.
They had their kids
right.
or they
right.
didn't. You know, it's like they had the results. And then Candace and Tommaso were still, when we met them, they were further along in their process, but like
they were still doing things.
They didn't have the kid yet, so we thought like, oh, okay, if this doesn't work, then they could be a way to wrap it up. But to Maya's point, it wasn't like, you know, the just adopt thing, even though it was successful for them, there's no just about any of the just do IVF. Just
totally.
We heard all of it. I'm sure you've heard it too. It's like, just do this. Like, just fuck off.
Well, that seems like a good note to end on. Where can people find you guys?
Hiding in our address.
No, I mean, like, is there a website for your...
onemoreshotfilm.com
okay.
Is the main site, and that'll give you all the info and links that you need. Netflix, One More Shot. On Facebook, we're One More Shot Film. Somebody was ahead of the curve on Twitter and got One More Shot Film, so it's One More Shot Doc
okay.
on Twitter,
all right.
which I know throws people off, but and then Maya's everywhere else.
I'm nowhere. No, I'm. It's just my name is my website. So
okay.
It's mayagrobel.com.
Okay, great. And this will all be in the show notes as well.
Cool.
So, well, thanks, you guys.
Thanks
for having us. Great to talk to you.
Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, I hope you all enjoyed the interview. If you like the interviews, let us know. We can... try to arrange more.
Yeah.
Honey, back to the emails.
Yes, dear. How much time do we have?
How long is the interview? About 25?
Yeah.
We probably have about 15 more minutes or so.
Okay. Then I'm going to read this email. Sorry.
Okay. She's having a lot of motility, verbal. I'm worried about her.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're having some issues.
Don't be worried about me. Okay. This is from Audrey.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Dory and Matt. I'm sending you big fertile vibes and hope your retrieval went well and you're both in good spirits.
It didn't go well.
No.
But we're both in okay spirits.
I started listening about 2 weeks ago and binged the whole thing. You actually played my voicemail last week when I'd made it up to episode 48 with the guy who needed to make friends.
That's amazing.
I'm really rooting for you guys and struck by how open and honest you've been throughout all of this. I joined the group recently, and about 2 days after I'd finally caught up on the podcast, I discovered quite unexpectedly that I am pregnant.
Mazel.
I have one non-science baby, and this will be number two. I felt a mixture of guilt, panic, and excitement when I found out.
Congratulations, Dory.
Just after listening.
That's how you find out you're pregnant now.
To all you've been through. And seeing on the group so many other struggles, my question is this. What, if any, announcement on social media is acceptable and not hurtful? Is that possible? What would you want to see from a friend or acquaintance announcing their pregnancy? Is there a way of wording or acknowledging the hardship of others that would feel welcoming and kind, or is any pregnancy or both announcement, oh, I think she means birth announcement, triggering and hurtful? My husband and I moved to a very small town a few years ago, so we live far from much of our friends and family, so social media has been a great tool for keeping in touch, but I hesitate to post something knowing it will cause pain to others who I don't even know are struggling. I love the podcast and wish you and all the other excellent adventurers all the best in your baby-having journeys. With love, Audrey.
I mean, I don't think you need to really cater.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you just, you know, do whatever you're comfortable with. If you want to say, hey, we're having another one.
Yeah.
Great. Good for you. If you want to say, boy, oh boy, guys, this is way too easy. Another bun in the oven. That's probably weird. So, I mean, just, you know,
yeah, just
say whatever you're comfortable saying.
Keep it straightforward.
Yeah, straightforward. No one's going to begrudge you for having your baby.
Don't post an ultrasound picture.
Oh, yeah. Correction. The way not to do it is to say, boy, this is easy. Another bun in the oven. Here's an ultrasound photo. Great way to do it is like having your existing child standing there and then putting like a number two pillow next to it. I don't know.
Yeah,
I made that up.
You know, my sister posted on Instagram with her daughter reading a book about like being a big sister.
Cute.
And I was like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah, so there's a lot of very easy, tasteful ways to do it. You don't have to, like, be worried that it's going to offend anyone.
Yeah.
And we say don't post an ultrasound picture just because they're annoying.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
But congratulations.
Congratulations.
We are happy for you.
We are.
I'm delighted. Welcome back into the pregnancy fold, people who are in it. We aren't. I don't know how I can welcome anyone into something I'm not in.
I'm going to play another voice.
Welcome
now
to Mensa.
Okay.
See what I did there?
All right.
Same thing.
Hi, Matt and Dory. This is Courtney, and I have been listening to your podcast for over a year now. I started listening when my husband and I started our IVF process last year after five failed IUIs. We are both 29, and we were diagnosed with male factor infertility.
Nice.
My husband had low count was the main issue with his. I actually just paused the podcast to call because I was listening about the varicocelectomy, and that is a procedure that my husband had done as well. I'm not sure where the year is coming into play as far as the delay in the process. My husband had his done in February, and we went through IVF in August. To be completely honest, we never did have his count checked after the surgery just because we went into the IVF and it worked. Mm-hmm. I'm 28 weeks pregnant right now with our first child.
Congratulations.
But our urologist said it would be 3 months until the new sperm would be produced at that point to, you know, help with the count options. So, again, not sure how relevant it is because I don't have all the medical facts behind it, but I'm just curious where the year is coming from.
That's coming from our acupuncturist, who is not really a doctor.
6 months out and seemed to show improvement. Obviously, they had what they needed to do as far as XC went. But anyway, still wishing good things for you guys, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, literally, that's coming. My urologist had said it would be 6 months.
Mm.
And so that was in our head. And then the year came from our lovely acupuncturist. And I don't know if it was offhand and then I'm spinning it out like it's fact, but that's where it came from.
Okay.
Thoughts, questions, comments, concerns, honey?
I don't really have any. I think if you want to do it, you should do it.
I don't want to do it.
Okay.
But I will, you know, if I have to do it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I just bought some walnuts, actually.
Oh, good.
Because those help.
We have a whole bag of them in the kitchen.
Well, you know, put them out so I can see them and then I'll eat them.
Okay.
That's what I do with food, I see.
All right. This email is from Alyssa.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Matt, I enjoyed hearing about all your jobs on episode 72,
mm-hmm.
but particularly enjoyed the bits about working at Charles River Labs.
Yes.
But when you said they were the number one provider of animals to research labs, it made me wonder, did you guys ever have a beef with Jackson Labs? Were you rivals? I patronized both companies in my time as a molecular biology tech, but mostly if I could get it at Jack's, that's where I went.
Oh,
I don't know why.
How dare you?
But Charles River always took way longer to ship the animals.
Because we cared.
Yeah, I'm trying to stir the pot. Ain't no fight like an academic researcher fight.
That's a great question. I don't know that we had a beef, or at least it was probably an unspoken beef that we had. But I have to say those animals were very well cared for before they went over to you guys to be destroyed. The great facilities and, morally questionable, maybe, but it was a very decent paying job for a young buck like myself. Time and a half on Sundays.
Oh,
come on.
Can't ask for anything more.
Unbelievable.
Did they give you double time on like holidays?
Yeah. I mean, we'd have to come in we'd come in on Christmas and stuff.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
You know,
I do.
The rats aren't like, we got to stop drinking. It's Christmas.
No.
No. They don't know.
They don't know.
They don't know from Christmas.
Do they even know?
Yes, that song was actually about the
rats at Charles River
Laboratories in beautiful Westford, Massachusetts, I believe. Westford? Yeah, I think it's in Westford.
For some reason, I was picturing it in Cambridge.
Sure. I mean, it's Charles River Labs.
Yeah.
I'm sure you thought it
Where
was.
Where is Westford?
It's on 93. It's probably exit 43.
That 42? Means nothing to me. What's it near?
Lowell.
Oh.
Andover. North Andover. Mm. Westford.
Not that familiar with the northern suburbs of Boston.
I know. That's my jam, though.
I'm more western suburbs.
Yeah, no, not me. I was definitely a Chelmsford, Drakehead, Billerica kind of guy.
No.
In addition to Lowell, of course.
Not me.
Yeah. Westford. Great. Westford Regency.
Never even heard of Westford.
That's so weird. It's very weird to me. Is it even in Westford? Now I'm like, I'm questioning that. I guess you could get to Westford on 495 and 93. You know what? I'll allow it.
Okay, great. Well, that just about wraps it up.
Honey, great job.
Thank you. You too.
Enjoy your unemployment.
Thank you.
Again, that's patreon.com/excellent adventure. If you'd like 2 bonus episodes a month, it's only going to cost you $10.
Yeah, it's only 10 bucks.
They charge the first of the month, so as soon as that first charge goes through, you're going to have access to the whole back catalog, and there's an RSS feed to let you know when everything's been updated.
Yep.
So you'll see new episodes pop up in your podcatcher if you subscribe to it as such. So thank you, everyone, for being Patreon listeners.
Yep.
And I want to apologize to Mary for mispronouncing her name. Where was it? It's on the first page. Was it Mary? Yes. Mary Mihailov. Mihailov?
I think it's Mihailov.
Oh, Mary, thank you. And I'm sorry again for Dory's reading of your phonetic spelling and also my interpretation.
All right, everyone. Talk to you next week. And, well, if you're a Patreon supporter, we'll talk to you, really soon.
Yeah, probably by tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.